you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations. And welcome back to another episode of the Offsides Podcast, where we break down everything. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And you're listening to the Offsides Podcast. We're your one-stop shop for all things conversation starters. So we're going to get into it, Andrew. What do we have this week in sports?
Well, this week's in a very exciting week on the show and also an exciting week in sports. We have another guest on the show. Just fought in his first professional MMA fight, so it'll be very interesting to hear about that experience, the build-up to that, the actual fight, how it's different right now with no fans in attendance, whether he was able to have his team that's helped him get there, you know, be there and witness his fight because it's a long process, so definitely looking forward to that. And on that note, I want to talk about, and I'll ask James about this later, about YouTubers and influencers that are stepping into the ring and fighting each other, because it seems like that is the latest trend in the world of YouTubers. I don't know if you're familiar with Jake and Logan Paul.
I've heard their name around here and there.
There's obviously lots of mixed feelings about them, I feel like. They started as these sweet boys on Vine and Disney Channel, and then have got a little money and got themselves into a little bit of trouble. They've done some good things, some controversial things. But Jake Paul recently had a fight with another influencer and walked away with an extremely large sum of money. And people that are fans of the sport, respect the sport, kind of feel like there's a little bit of disrespect here.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be interesting to hear, you know, the perspective from someone that's actually in the sport, what they think. Also, Jake Paul has continued to fight other YouTubers and influencers. It'll be interesting because his older brother, Logan Paul, has a fight set with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, interesting. And when is that supposed to happen?
It was supposed to happen in February, and it's been postponed. It looks like it's now planned for June 5th. So it'll be coming up this summer, but it'll be the first time that we see a YouTuber fight an actual boxer, someone that actually was in the sport, and arguably the best boxer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of head-scratching why Floyd Mayweather would accept this fight for a couple of reasons. Number one, because you're the best boxer of all time, why are you going to fight this YouTube star? Another reason, because Floyd Mayweather's weight class will be 160 pounds for the fight, and Logan Paul's will be 190 pounds. So a drastic difference in weight. Typically, you're fighting someone, you know, in the same weight class as you. It's a similar body build. Here, you've got two people at very different heights, very different weights. But they asked Floyd, why would you accept this fight? And he said, you know, just because I'm retired doesn't mean I'm sitting at home, gaining weight, just chilling. He said, I still want to go out and I want to entertain people. He said, I could fight for 12 rounds and make $35 million. He goes, I think with this fight, we're only going to fight 6 rounds and it'll draw so much attention, I can probably make $100 million doing it.
You know, that's a very good way to look at it, very entrepreneurial business. And hey, if you're going to make the money, might as well make it while you can and where you can, right?
Exactly. So my question for you is, do these fights between influencers interest you at all?
Yes and no. I think it depends who it is and who they're fighting against. The one that just happened was super quick, and I think it was the hype of everything with it. You know, they had performers, and they had, like, this big production, so that's always fun to watch However, sometimes it's like when it really comes down to it, like they hype it up and you're like, that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not the biggest fan of the Paul brothers, I guess you would say, but it's always interesting. It's good for entertainment. It's good to watch with a group of friends if you're trying to plan a date or something or want to get your friends together. I think it's a good thing to watch together.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop Dogg was involved in the event. Pete Davidson was one of the hosts of the events. We've talked about him before.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's definitely an interest factor there. But as someone who's been a sports fan my whole life, I kind of feel like it's just a gimmick. It's not, you know, it's not actually the sport. Just keep it on YouTube. We don't actually need these as pay-per-view events.
No, I don't think I would pay for that.
But, I mean, it's bringing in money. So, like you said, find the money where you can and take advantage of the opportunity. So they're doing that. Someone that takes advantage of every opportunity he has, and I'm talking about the opportunity to shoot the basketball, is Steph Curry.
Okay.
And Steph is a name that a lot of people know, whether you're a sports fan or not.
Mm-hmm.
His wife has kind of made her mark as an influencer on social media. So some people know Ayesha Curry, and that's how they know Steph Curry. Or they know him as being a basketball player or just a funny personality that's on TV. Steph has been out of this world lately. He has been shooting the lights out. He's been scoring a ridiculous amount of points. And the reason I bring this up is because my girlfriend, who is not a basketball fan, I had it on the other day, and she was like, oh my goodness, he's insane. He's making, you know, half-court shots almost, this and that. So I said, all right, let's watch some Steph Curry highlights. And I think that is one of the most fun things we've done is watch Steph Curry highlights together. And seeing her reaction to all of his ridiculous plays and shots was so great. So I would say sometimes just take the risk. If you have this athlete that you like and you want to watch their highlights with your significant other or your friends, do it. Especially if it's highlights you remember, things you haven't seen in a while. It can be really fun to go back and look at those things. You forget how, you know, different plays and different moments in sports can make you feel. And it's fun to watch it with someone that's never seen it for the first time again.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. Well, that's super exciting. I think he's got a lot going on. Didn't he create a pair of shoes, like female basketball shoes recently, too? I saw that was in the news, and that's really cool. And I think he's just an overall cool person with everything that he does.
Yeah, he did. He came out with his line of shoes, the Steph Curry shoes with Under Armour, and a girl wrote to him, a little girl, saying she felt like the shoes were specifically designed for boys and there was no shoe for girls. So he created a shoe for her and then released the line of Steph Curry shoes for that little girl. Oh. Steph Curry's, you talked about his family, but something that's interesting is the game that I was first watching when Steph was playing incredibly, he was playing against his brother Seth. Him and his brother are both in the league, Steph and Seth.
Wow.
Seth plays on the Philadelphia 76ers, who is coached by Doc Rivers. But a fun fact is Seth is married to Doc Rivers' daughter.
What?
So he's married to his coach's daughter. Doc Rivers' son, Austin Rivers, also plays in the NBA.
Okay.
So, this kid, Seth Curry's kid, now, Steph and Seth's dad played in the NBA as well also. So this kid, both grandparents were NBA players. The uncle on one side is Steph Curry. The uncle on the other side is Austin Rivers. So both granddads and both of this child's uncles were NBA players.
So if he's not an NBA player, is he going to be a disappointment to the family?
There's a lot of basketball genes here and a lot of players to live up to. So I wouldn't say a disappointment, but I would say if this child would like to play basketball, I believe it's a girl, so she would be a WNBA player, has access to a lot of great training. That is all I'm saying. They can pursue whatever they want to pursue. I believe they'll let the child find whichever way they want to go, whatever sport interests them. But they have access to as much basketball training as they need.
That is wild. That was very convoluted, but I appreciate that and I wish her all the best. Do you know her name?
I do not.
Well, I hope we do see her in a couple years, you know, NCAA tournament and all of this comes out. And I hope that she also doesn't feel pressure by her name and who her parents and relatives are, because I know that can carry a lot of weight, especially for a female in the sports world. But that's awesome. That's super cool. Wow.
Yeah, kind of a funny story there, but going back to my initial point, Steph Curry is out of this world. Watch some of his highlights. Watch it with your friends again. Watch it with your girl. If there's another athlete you like, watch some of their highlights. It can be something fun to do together.
That is very nice. I'll jot that down for a next date idea.
Speaking of people that are at the top of their game, the Oscars are coming up. By the time this is out, they will have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some of the nominees in front of us. Are you a big movie fan? Do you watch a lot of movies?
Yes and no. I do like some good movies. I've been trying to get more into like films and things, so I'm intrigued to see who wins. And I know it's going to be different, you know, as we talked about award seasons and how the whole red carpet and interviews and dresses, but why don't we pick our couple of the winners that we think would be best? Do you have any categories in mind you would like to pick from?
Let's see. I have to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of movies lately, so I have to find some of the bigger ones, such as actor in a leading role.
Okay, that's a good one. Let's definitely do that one. Actor in a leading role. Let's do actress in a leading role. And then we'll do animated feature film.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so the actor in a leading role, we have Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal. We have Chadwick Boseman, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins, The Father, Gary Oldman, Mink, and then Steven Yeun, Minari. What is your pick for that one?
I am going with Chadwick Boseman here.
Okay.
Chadwick is absolutely incredible. And I think given the events and his passing and things of that nature, there's also people that It shouldn't play into it. You want it to just be performance-based. He puts on a great performance in everything he does, but I also think just human nature, some people will want to, you know, see Chadwick Boseman win these awards, and it'll be interesting to see if he does win, who accepts the award for him.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. So that was going to be my second pick, but my first pick's going to be Anthony Hopkins, The Father. I'm very intrigued to see how he plays out in this movie, and it was in 2022, so you know a lot of these films and stuff were in the year of 2020, which is interesting to see how the Academy picks that. So those are our picks for actors in leading roles. Let's do actresses. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'll let you read them off and then start this time picking your winner.
All right, so we have for the nominees Viola Davis, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Andra Day, United States versus Billie Holiday. We have Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of Women, Frances McDormand, No Man's Land, and then we have Carey MacGillan, Promising Young Woman. I am going to say, and I don't think you can ever go wrong, Viola Davis is probably going to be my pick. She's an extremely talented actress, and she's done quite a variety of characters, and she has a lot in her skill set. So I'm going to go with Viola Davis with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. What is your choice?
I'm going with Carey Mulligan here.
Okay.
She's received numerous awards and nominations already in her life. She's British, so the British Academy Film Award. She's won 2 Academy Awards, 2 Golden Globe Awards, a Tony. Very recognized and acclaimed already. She was in The Great Gatsby that was a big hit. So I think she's another one that just exceeds in whatever role she plays. That's who I think will take it home.
Alrighty, we're going to do one more. Our last one is the animated feature film. So we have our first nominees Onward, Dan Scullin and Corey Ray, Over the Moon, Glenn Keane, Jeannie Rim and Peeling Chow, Shaun the Sheep Movie, Farmageddon. We have Soul and we have Wolf Walkers. So I'm going to let you go first on this one. Which one do you think is going to win feature film for animation?
Yeah, immediately when I saw these nominations, I had to go with Soul. I know it dives real in-depth into what life is like and important things, life after, you know, what we perceive as human life. So I think that one is one that was kind of geared towards kids and took a deep dive It's a Disney Pixar movie, and I just think because they were willing to take on a not a controversial topic, but something that's so in depth, we mention all the time things that are hard to discuss, and finding a way to bring those up to children, especially.
Yes, that's
and definitely. I think that's where I'm going, and I would like to see Soul win.
So I'm kind of split. I think it's between Onward and Soul, and they kind of touch upon the same topic, where Onward's a little bit more magical in this sense where, you know, his dad passed away, but they have the body. In order to get the head, they have to go and reach for it, and it's got some wizardry and things. So it's kind of a little bit about death as well, but I think the animation is really cool and like the concept of it. So I think it's going to be between those two for sure on who wins animation a feature film or animated feature film. So I'm intrigued to see who will win that one.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. And there's a lot of, every time when we have these award ceremonies, obviously it's people that are at the top of their game. So it's so fun to watch. And no one here, I mean, we do these shows, people love watching these shows, but it's funny when you categorize people that are at the top of their game into this, because truly, is there a winner or loser? All these people are spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's just such an appreciation for everyone that's been nominated or every film that's been nominated.
That's very true. However, it does feel good to be a winner. And it does feel good to be appreciated for your art form and what you do to, like, make smiles and, like, bring people joy and happiness and excitement. So, yes, we would love everybody to win, but it does feel good, and it's great to put that on your resume.
Oh, I completely agree. If I was in this spot, I clearly want to win, but there's a recognition that when someone loses, it's not like, oh, that diminishes who they are as an actor.
No, because they're still a nominee, and I think that's something really cool even to still put on your resume. So even having that as a nominee is an Oscar, or also winning an Oscar. So both sides are good, but winning is almost better.
Yeah, someone that's at the top of their game consistently is Lizzo.
Yeah.
And she's won many awards, as we talk about awards here. But I don't know if you saw, she recently tried to win the heart of Chris Evans.
Captain America. Oh my gosh. What happened? Tell me the dirty deets.
Lizzo, like many of us, decided one night to have a couple drinks, hanging out with some friends, you know, have a couple drinks. Probably like many of us as well, decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to shoot my shot.
Oh.
She sent Chris Evans a DM.
Okay.
It was the puff of wind emoji, a sports player, and then a basketball, giving the note, I am shooting my shot, basically.
Creative. I love the use of emojis. Sometimes it's even better than words. Wow. Wow. Did she get a response from that?
So, first off, she made a TikTok and she wrote alongside the video, don't drink and DM, kids. Oh. For legal purposes, this is a joke. But she did get a reply. Chris Evans said, no shame in a drunk DM with the face blowing a kiss emoji. God knows I've done worse on this app. LOL, facepalm emoji.
What app is he referring to? Was it like a dating app or was it like Instagram?
It wasn't a dating app. It was a common social media app like Instagram. Lizzo did post the caption or the response from Chris Evans and captioned it, bitch.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that. Well, I did see that there also was saying, like, this kid is cooler than I could ever hope to be. And that just cracks me up. Like, I'm so happy that she was able to do something like that.
This is definitely something that has transpired over time because, like you said, it was 2019 when she went public with her feelings for Chris Evans.
Oh.
There was a kid dancing to Lizzo's song Juice.
Uh-huh.
And that's when Chris Evans said, this kid is cooler than I could ever hope to be. In which Lizzo responded, wow, marry me. With a little shrug.
So they got their little conversation start. You know, that's all it takes sometimes. A comment in a photo. You know, as a female, when a male that like you're attracted to or you have a crush on comments on like a post, that's a great feeling. That's a great position to be in. And then you're like, wait, okay, take a breather. How do I respond? Do I just like it? Do I tag him in the response? Like, there's a lot to go by. That's fascinating.
Wow, this is interesting to know. This is a good insight for all the boys listening that right? A comment has that impact. But I have a question for you, and I know that there's some girls that have different reactions to this. How do you feel if a guy DMs you mm-hmm. your own picture with a comment on it instead of actually commenting on the post?
That's very funny that you say that. So, I actually get this a lot. I actually get that more than people commenting. And I think it's because, and this is just like a personal thing, I think they're too embarrassed as opposed to like put it in the like comment on my actual like Instagram posts per se. They would rather do it privately and send me the photo and then make the comment as opposed to just put it in my comments, which I would rather, if you're going to be that bold, just put it in the comments. Don't send me my own photo and then make the comment. Or, like, I know a lot of times, too, they reply to your stories, whether it be on Snapchat or Instagram or something, which that, it's kind of hard to not send it to you. But, like, you know what? If you're already going to shoot your shot, you're already going to be in my DMs, just comment below. That's all I have to say. Just comment below.
All right. What do you think about this shooting your shot trick? Okay. So a lot of girls, you know, they'll post, for lack of a better term, let's say a thirst trap.
Of course. We all do it. There's no shame
exactly.
there.
Exactly. No shame in that game. But the thirst trap is posted on the Instagram story.
Okay.
And obviously a lot of people are going to respond to it.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That is what you're hoping happens. So, let's say right after the thirst trap,
okay.
The next day you post a picture of your salad. Let's just use a salad as an example, or whatever you're eating.
Is this like a post, or is this like on the
story?
No,
this is in your story as well.
Okay.
Is it better to respond to the thirst trap that everyone else is responding to, or to respond to the picture of your salad and say, yo, what kind of dressing are you having with that? Something that's completely different than what everyone else is doing. And you're going to see that and you're going to be like, I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to tell them what kind of dressing I'm having. And then a conversation might start. But if I respond to your thirst trap and be like, dang, obviously you've been in the gym, you're just going to hit me with a like and then the conversation might die.
Well, it's a 50-50. It depends on the person and what they're looking for. If they just want attention and purely just attention, then they're just going to hit you with the like and they'll be done with it. But if they like want to create something, then they will respond to your comment. A lot of the times too, though, if it's a thirst trap, and I've seen this, they will, it's as opposed to like you comment to them and then they will just put an emoji back, which is kind of hard to start a conversation, I think. But you know what? It's not wrong going for, like, the unthirst trap to send them one.
Yeah.
I can see it. And that's easier to start a conversation as opposed to replying to the thirst trap and just putting an emoji. So
sometimes I like to call my friends out for their thirst traps, honestly. Oh. Like, if it's someone that I'm kind of friends with, I'll be like, yo, so did the person that you hope sees this respond yet?
Because like, you know they're checking. They're, like, refreshing. Like, okay, who looked at this?
Exactly. At this? Who's taking a look at it? Who's responded? This and that. So if it's someone that I'm close with, someone that I'm friends with, I definitely like to give them a little bit of a hard time. Because with a thirst trap, it's funny. Everyone knows what you're doing. But like we said, no shame in the game.
You know, we all do it. And there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you can own it, I think that's okay. And if you own it, well, then to each their own.
I completely agree. And something we teased a little bit earlier and someone that I can't wait to talk to and get into here is our guest, James. And you've known James for a while, so I'll let you go ahead and introduce him before we jump into it.
Yes, so we have Mr. James Ford. We actually had a podcast together back in college where we went to Purdue University, boiler up. And he was on the wrestling team at that point, and we kind of just became friends. He didn't live too far from the house that I lived at, and he's an overall great friend, great person, and recently started his career in professional fighting, so it was super exciting. He got that W, and we're so excited to hear all about that and help, you know, see where that's going to lead him next. So without further ado, Mr. James Ford.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you coming off that big W?
Honestly, really sore. You know, growing up, you always see like these fighters and or like even in movies and whatnot, like Rocky or whatever. And they're, you know, they're not that sore. They're going out and partying the night of. that they get done competing. And, you know, I came home and went to sleep on the couch immediately. I was dead tired. I still am. It was, you know, going on 5 days ago and I'm beat. But it's definitely very rewarding, the whole process. So I was really excited to be able to get out there and compete.
What was the most, like, different from what you thought, like, your expectation, like, something that you thought was going to happen, it was, like, completely different?
Honestly, as far as, like, my performance goes, I thought I was going to be striking a little bit more. I wrestled a lot in that fight. I thought I was going to be striking a little bit more for my feet. But as far as, like, the environment and the crowd goes, they had, like, these smoke things going off, these smoke machines going off when we were walking out, and it kind of, like, got in my eye a little bit when I was coming out. And yeah, they, and like when I was in the back, they told me I could wear headphones like to walk out. And then as soon as I got on the stage, I'm wearing my headphones. Like the lady that like kind of guided me from the backstage to where the stage is at was like, oh no, you can't have those on. You can't have those on. So it was kind of funny. It was a little hectic starting off, but it was really fun.
Yeah, that's probably something that you don't train for in the gym is smoke blowing in your eyes.
Definitely not. But, you know, you got to be ready for anything always. That is one thing we do train for, especially at my gym.
Where's the host fight at? Where are you located right now?
So I'm actually in Houston, Texas right now. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I went to college in Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana, and then came back to Ohio State in Columbus. Now I'm in Houston, Texas at War Training Center and Texas Strike Academy. So the event was at the Bayou City Event Center here in Houston, in the south part of Houston. You know, it was really amazing. It was in the middle of the city, so I got that, you know, big city experience. That's something I really like.
For sure. How was the transition from a wrestling background to now an MMA fighting background? You talked about the striking, use of your legs, things like that. Was there an adjustment period? Because the two sports are, while they're similar, they're very different from each other as well.
Right. I definitely say there's an adjustment period. I'm still going through that adjustment period. I'm not settled into my role as like a full-time fighter yet. I'm actually still coaching wrestling and whatnot. So I'm never really going to give up on wrestling, I don't think. But I'm still kind of like, you know, learning my striking, getting better with that, getting better with some kicks, Muay Thai, kickboxing, that kind of stuff. Making sure I don't miss practices for that. Although there is a big adjustment because striking is implemented, a lot of like the best strikers on the planet and the best guys in the UFC or, you know, even in other shows, they're all wrestlers, right? So like, you know, the John Jones, the Khabib, you know, those are guys that used to be wrestlers. So it kind of comes, I don't want to say easy, but it comes faster, I guess, to wrestlers. Whereas like grappling's a sport that's like hard to learn how to understand, and striking's kind of like easier to understand body movements if you have like one before the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so like it's definitely easier to go from one to the other, like from wrestling to striking, than it is from striking to wrestling, I'd say.
I got you. Yeah, and you talked about that adjustment period and how you're still going through that. Kind of walk us through, before a big fight like this, kind of what the training process looks like. Do you fight against someone else for a full amount of rounds? Are you doing a lot of cardio or strength training? Kind of what did that look like for you, and what's kind of the timeline before a fight to ensure also that you don't get injured in training?
Pretty much. My fight camp was really awesome. It was about 6 weeks long, 5 or 6 weeks long. I'm not like exactly sure. It's kind of like a preference thing on how long fighters want to go. But I feel like I've read somewhere, you know, one of my teammates read somewhere and told me about it, that like a lot of the highest level guys go to like 8 weeks for their fight camps typically. I've seen like, you know, some of my teammates right now that I train with on the daily basis that are UFC, when they're in their fight camps, they're going, you know, 6 to 8 weeks long as well. So something about that time period, I'm not sure about the science behind it. But as far as like my training for the camp or for the fight, my fight was 3 3-minute rounds. So 9 minutes, a lot happens in that 9 minutes, but it's not like the longest thing in the world. But as far as my training goes, I did train against, you know, other fighters, a couple professional boxers here and there, working with them, getting, you know, up to 3 times as many rounds in per day with them, you know, trying to work out a couple times a day, whether I'm, you know, getting some jiu-jitsu in the morning and then boxing in the afternoon, and then I'm coaching a wrestling class or, you know, something like that. I'm just kind of mixing it up. you know, boxing, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, wrestling, mostly what I'm doing throughout the day.
Absolutely, yeah. Just like when you're training or going to the gym, you want to switch it up, not let your muscles get in a routine, not let your body get in a routine. Do new things that keeps your body fresh and keeps you getting stronger. I mean, we talked about training just now, and we said, obviously, you won your fight. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But kind of talk to us about the fight. Were those 9 minutes close and intense?
Yeah.
Or did you beat the hell out of the other guy? Did he beat the hell out of you, and then you came back late? Kind of what did the fight look like?
Right. I would definitely say we beat the hell out of each other. I'm going to go with that answer. So in my mind, it was close. It was super close. I really relied on my grappling a lot. In the first round, he hit me with some really heavy, really hard shots. I said this in my interview after my fight, but that guy's got some of the heaviest hands I've felt. Definitely a really good, he was a really good striker in his own respect. He was a second degree black belt in karate, I believe. So he had, you know, and he's a, you know, full 6'3", 256 pounds. He's a grown man right there. So his hands were heavy. He was giving it to me a little bit in the first round, and I started wrestling him. But then after that, I kind of was able to open up the fight through my wrestling and ground and pound and stuff like that. I kind of had a lot of control, and, you know, I was pretty happy with it. I definitely wanted to stay out of the way of his hands, like I mentioned, because they were dangerous for sure. He actually dropped me at the end of the first round. It was not looking great. I was, you know, I watched the video back a couple times since then. I don't really remember it. My body just kind of went limp. I fell down, and then I started trying to reach for his legs, but the round was already over. So I guess I got saved by the bell there.
Wow. What do you think was the most unexpected? Was it just that he couldn't, or he hit too hard, or was were you prepared for all scenarios with on your opponent?
I knew he was going to be a really tough striker. I would say the thing that I was not prepared for is for me to freeze up. I've had a lot of experience competing at high levels, but I kind of froze up a little bit at the beginning. I really wasn't getting to my stuff. I wasn't moving my head too much. And that's, you know, as a result, I got hit a couple times. That was my biggest shock. Other than that, I kind of expected for it to be a tough fight. I knew he was a tough fighter. He was 4-1 at this point. I was making my debut against him. He was previously ranked, you know, one of the number one. He was the number one amateur in the country for a while when he was sitting at 4-0. And now he's, I think, the number four amateur in the country, or he was before our fight. Yeah, I kind of expected a dog fight, and he definitely gave that to me.
Yeah, you said it was a tough, close fight. So before the final decision came in, did you feel like you were going to be the winner, or were you, you know, sometimes you just feel like, oh yeah, I got some good hits in. I know I got some points. I know the judges are going to name me the winner. Did you feel like you were going to win, or were you kind of like, this could go either way?
Honestly, I felt like I won the fight just based on wrestling and kind of like you kind of have an idea. I was a little bit out of it during parts of the fight. Just from getting hit and trying to keep my cool and keep my head level. But going into the referee's decision or the official's decision, like I mentioned, I had a feeling that I won, but I wasn't sure. So I ended up winning by unanimous decision. So I won all three rounds. And I think it was 30-27, 29-28, and 30-27 again. The second round, when they said 29-28, when they were reading off the card, I was like, well, actually, originally, I thought I lost the first round. So when they said 29-28, I was like, oh man, I lost the second round too. I thought I lost the fight. And then they told me I won by unanimous decision. And obviously that feels really good, especially on your debut against a seasoned veteran like the guy that I fought.
Yeah, that's a great feeling. So now you're 1-0, you're undefeated, you can retire on top, you can never fight again, and you can tell everyone you had an undefeated fighting career. Something tells me that's not the right way to go. So just some quick bullet points. What are kind of your goals in MMA and fighting moving forward? What are things that you would like to achieve in the sport?
Definitely. So I definitely want to push my jiu-jitsu to the next level. I want to, you know, I'm on the road to hopefully earning a black belt in the future, you know, in the next decade or so. Kind of got a late start on it, but it's okay. We're here now. Definitely just overall what I see is just becoming the best version of myself, the best fighter that I can be, you know, so leveling up in every aspect of that, even, you know, continuing to level up my wrestling, obviously, like I mentioned before, my striking, my jiu-jitsu, and, you know, hopefully getting the call, making it to the big show in the next, you know, year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. So, you know, whether that's the UFC or Bellator, you know, wherever, making it to a big show and being able to put my gifts out there for the world to see. And I think that's something that really excites me, is, you know, having this amazing opportunity to do that on the stage that I'm able to do that on.
That's absolutely awesome to hear, and we're so excited for you. Do you have another fight planned, or what's the next, you know, 6 months look like for you coming after that big win?
So I just fought 5 days ago, I believe, on this past Sunday. And so right now I'm actually getting ready to go back home to Columbus, Ohio for a little bit. And then I'm going to go with my best friend, my housemate, my training partner and teammate, Kyle Todrink. Cutthroat Kyle, shout out to him. We're going to be going to both Columbus, Ohio and Evansville, Indiana, where we're both respectively from. Kind of try and relax a little bit. He is on the card. So the promotion that we fight for is called Fury Fighting Championships. And they're based out of here in Houston, Texas. Eric Garcia, his promotion, really great, really put together well. Really enjoyed fighting for them. But they have another show in June on the 20th that I believe that I'm going to be fighting for or fighting on. And I know that Kyle Cutthroat Todrink is going to be fighting on. I'm waiting for everything to get finalized for that. And, you know, looking to see where it goes. But after that, that's about 2 months away. You said 6 months. So I'm really just trying to, you know, train as hard as I can. I'm going to try and look into see about the world championships for IBJJF for jiu-jitsu, see if I can try and compete in that. And if it's too late, then, you know, make sure that my everything's ready for, you know, next year when I try and do that as well. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just training, hard work, and trying to figure things out, get some fights together.
That's awesome. That's super exciting. You know, you got another fight hopefully planned within the next couple months, and can only go upward from here. And we're so excited to see what happens and to follow you and see how your career in fighting ends up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're rooting for you. And before we wrap things up here, because I really enjoyed talking, want to ask you your opinion on something we talked about earlier in the show. And that is YouTubers that are deciding to step into the ring and are getting a ridiculous amount of money for the fights they are fighting, even though they have no real fighting or training experience. As someone that has obviously dedicated a lot of time to the sport, what is your general thoughts on these YouTubers deciding to fight each other?
So I, you know, honestly, you can't be too upset if they're going to decide to fight each other and, you know, make a good amount of money off of it. Honestly, that, you know, it's smart on them, good for you, you know, go make your money. As far as, like, I know we talked about the Jake Paul situation. I just think that high-level fighters, people that have dedicated their life to this, they should just stop, you know, entertaining the guy. If, you know, everybody seems to have an issue with it, and then they're like, oh, I have an issue with this guy doing, you know, this is that and the next thing. So, you know, as a result, I'm going to challenge him to a fight. And then, you know, one way or another, whether you win or lose the fight, you're giving the guy more of an opportunity to do what you just said you didn't want him to do. So I feel like, you know, if people start ignoring him, who is he going to have to fight? He's going to start, you know, he's going to stop fighting people that are fighters and that are not boxers that are taking boxing fights against him to try and prove a point. He's going to stop fighting those guys like Ben Askren, like Nate Robinson, back to fighting other YouTubers again, which, like I said, is fine. You know, if YouTubers want to make their money fighting each other, that's cool. People that have dedicated their lives to this that are, you know, fighters through and through, I don't think they should really care. But also, you know, we have to have there has to be like a realistic expectation for people that are younger that are like, oh, I'm just going to be a fighter now because Jake Paul's a fighter. And it's like, that's cool. You know, I'm happy. You know, anybody that decides to take the combat sports route, you have my respect. But just, you know, have realistic expectations. Know that it's not going to end up like Jake Paul's fights all the time. I don't know. Those, the Triller fights are kind of funny to me. I'm not sure if they're real, to be honest. That's a little something that I've been talking about with some people. No offense to anybody that has fought on those cards or anything like that. They seem a little fishy here and there. Some of the results, some of the things that happen in them, there's some questionable stuff going on. Yeah, as far as the kids go, and obviously Jake Paul, just know that if you're going to dedicate yourself to this, to sports like these anyways, that it's going to take some real hard work, and, you know, hopefully see you on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, They're entertainers, so that's what they're doing. They're going out and entertaining. And as a fan of entrepreneurship, I absolutely love it. As a fan of sports, I don't necessarily love it as much. So there's definitely two sides to this, but I think you made a very good point that a lot of people got to have a realistic expectation, especially kids that like watching these vlogs, things of that nature, that you're not going to be able to just walk into the sport. But it's something that a lot of people dedicate their time and their lives to.
I did have one question kind of playing off of that. If you were to give maybe your younger self or a kid that's interested in going into combat fighting, whether that be in more of the entertainment realm or more in, you know, the professional realm, what is the best advice that you could give someone that's wanting to pursue something like you're doing?
The best advice I would say is to find some coaches that you can really trust. Find a team that you can really trust. I'm not going to downplay anybody. That's like a hard thing in this sport. Sometimes it's, you know, it's easy to go onto a team and join a team and think it's going to be great. If you don't have people around you that you trust, you're not going to be able to become a better version of yourself because you're not going to be comfortable looking at your flaws. Instead, your flaws are going to be, you know, hidden because you're like, whether you're nervous or you're embarrassed about them or whatever, you're not trusting the people that are around you enough to be open and honest with them about some of the areas that, you know, might be able to take you to the next level. So I definitely say picking people that you trust and people that will hold you accountable as the most important part being successful or even just stepping into this sport or this area of sports.
That's good. I hope people really take that into account. And that's great advice. You know, being surrounding yourself by good people is always a good thing, but especially in that, and being able to trust them in the process is really, really, definitely, I'm sure, beneficial to everybody that's involved.
For sure. Well, James, if you've got some time, I'd love if you stick around for our final segment. It's our free play segment in which we open the floor and ask each other kind of any questions we want, get some real responses, real answers. So if you've got some time, I'd love for you to stick around. We're going to talk about the best and or worst DMs you've ever received or sent.
Most definitely. Let's do it.
Awesome. So let's talk about first the best DM that you've ever sent or received, and then we'll go worst sent or received. And we'll let you start it, Somi, with a J.
So the best one that I've received. Ooh, that's a tough one. Okay. So I have an Instagram account, and it's a different person, but it's me. And
it's you with a wig. It's your alter ego.
Yes, my Finsta account. And I got a DM from, actually, funny that you mentioned that, a game show host that we were on.
Are we going to say names or are we not going to mention names?
We're not going to mention names.
All right.
He had DM'd me, and it wasn't like it was like anything sexual. It was just shocking. And then we were talking about that. We mentioned some of this persona on the game show, but then him DMing me just made it so much more great. I was like, best DM I could ever ask. Yeah, and then he would comment, like we said, he would comment on a lot of my stories and like stuff like that. So I think that was a win-win. He's been in a couple commercials, couple famous, you know, TV shows and stuff like that. But I feel like that was probably like my best DM.
The name of our episode, our game show episode, was Orange You Glad. So if you want to do some investigative research and try and find out who that was, go for it. But we're not going to name drop here.
Not today.
Oh.
All right. What was your – we'll do worst after. So we'll start with the best. What was your best DM that you received or sent?
The best DM I've ever come up with, and unfortunately this DM was not sent. I met this girl and there was a good vibe going and followed her on Instagram and saw that she had a boyfriend. Didn't realize that at the time based on the interaction we were having. She very much did not act like there was a boyfriend.
Ooh,
in the picture.
Ooh, spicy.
But anyways, so saw the boyfriend's name was Denny.
Okay, D-E-N-N-Y?
Yes, Denny.
Love it.
They have a long-distance relationship. But I thought I came up with a very comical DM, but I'm not the type of person that is going to DM someone that has a boyfriend. But, and we'll get your opinion on if I could have sent it or not. Again, her boyfriend's name is Denny, so I was going to send a DM that said, I see you like Denny's, but how about I hop on that ass?
Oh no. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. You should have hit send. You should have hit send.
I mean, it was 100%. So comical that I felt like you could get out of it. It would be okay. Obviously, I'm not that serious. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not trying to create any drama or rift in somebody else's relationship. So I'll leave this one unsaid.
You know what, though? And
they'll
like,
never eat at IHOP again.
Exactly. I'm not trying to ruin their breakfast experience. You know, I want them to be able to go have the all-you-can-eat pancakes on pancake day.
Right. You got to.
No, I think you could have sent it in the sense of when you use, and this is just like a personal opinion, when you use comedy to make an uncomfortable situation funny, and it like looking back on it, like you can't go wrong. And then in turn, if that person gets offended, you know, well, they don't have the same sense of humor. We weren't meant to be.
Yeah, completely.
True. It would have been a boring situation.
I mean, that's a tough one to follow up. But what's the best one that you've ever sent or received?
I'll go with the best one I've ever sent. I'll generalize. So I feel like the best DMs to send are ones where you're not, you know, directly talking. You guys talked about it earlier, you know, whether you respond to the thirst trap or the salad picture. I'm definitely the guy that responds to the salad picture, but I like, you know, sprinkle some humor in there. You got to make it funny. So I think the best DMs are ones that are like, first of all, just not expected, and like making jokes about things that are going on in their day or their life, you know, just making somebody's day a little bit better in general. I think that that's the best way to go about sliding in anybody's DMs. I feel like you have, you know, the best success rate that way as well, if you're into those kind of things.
Okay. So do you have an example of this?
So, let me think about how I can explain it where I don't have to expose myself.
I got you. Well, you take some time to think about it, and we'll go over our worst DMs and then come back to you for your example of your comedic.
Okay.
The
sounds good.
Worst DM experience that I've ever had, and it was a girl that I had seen in person. We had kind of becoming friends through a friend of a friend. They really wanted us to get together. And we were going, it was right around the time of New Year's Eve, and we were renting a cabin. That's something my family has always done since we were young. We spend New Year's Eve typically in the mountains somewhere at a cabin. For a long time, my grandparents had a cabin, so we would always go there. That's how that tradition started. So I invite this girl. Her friends were coming. One of my best friends, she was one of their friends. And so I send her the date. She's like, oh yeah, I'm interested. When is it? I send her the dates. I go back to see if she's seen the message, because on Instagram it'll show you if someone's seen the message. And it was like, user 834-5692 no longer exists. And I'm like, what the? This girl, I told her the dates at the cabin and she deleted her whole Instagram. She deleted the entire profile. So I saw her like a week later and I was like, yo, what the heck? Like, you didn't have to delete your entire Instagram. You could have just told me you didn't want to go to the cabin.
So what'd she say to that?
She was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize it was nothing about you. She was like, I just am so sick of Instagram because everyone's just posting their body transformation and their kids and this. She's like, I just don't enjoy it anymore. And like, I forgot about our conversation and that like it would impact it that way. And I was like, all right, sure.
I don't know if I believe that at
all. That's a risky one.
She deleted it for a while. She made a new one after that. But now when I see her all the time, it's become like an ongoing joke between us. There's no hard feelings there. But at the time when I first saw it and it was like, it didn't say her name anymore. It just said user and all those numbers. I just put my phone down and I was like, you know what? This is it. I should just give up. This life ain't meant for me. This DM life ain't for me.
You should have sent the Denny's ones. That was the universe telling you.
The Denny's one was your best. That's the one.
It would have been like a Freaky Friday situation. I could have redeemed myself with that one. What is your worst experience of someone sliding into your DMs, or maybe one that you've sent?
Okay, so I sent a DM to a professional athlete, because I was like, shoot my shot, right? I'm gonna be like Lizzo. And so he was on TV that morning in the local news channel, And I was like, wow, you looked really enthusiastic this morning on channel so-and-so. And he read it, and then he sent the emoji that just goes, they're like hands up, like, okay, whatever. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what do I do? Do I like it or do I say something back? And then I just didn't respond. I just was like, I'm going to go back into my turtle shell and just...
Do you get the DMs from Indian men wanting to marry you? Or there's a lot of a lot of DMs I know that come through that are like, Sonia, you are so beautiful. I would love for you to be my wife.
No, I haven't gotten those ones, although I have gotten sugar daddy requests. And those are also really interesting. What is interesting about that is a lot of their profiles are private, so I don't know if they're like real or not. Also, like, all public. And then I try, and then I ask them like real, like the financials of it, and then I just backtrack and say, "Hey, bye. I'm gonna go. User 5432775 is no longer in existence."
I'll tell you, it's an effective strategy. If you want to get your point across to a guy that you are no longer interested in, just delete your entire Instagram.
That's very effective. Yes. What about you, James? Do we have an example of the best DM ever sent, or the worst?
All right, so I have the best DM I ever sent. So I was like kind of texting this girl. We were hanging out, seeing each other a little bit off and on, but it had been like a few weeks since we'd like talked or, you know, hung out or anything like that. And then me and one of my other friends have this ongoing joke, like inside joke about Danny DeVito, about like Danny DeVito being our dad. So I'm an Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan, real big Danny DeVito fan. So I'm sending my one friend, I'm sending her this tweet about Danny DeVito because we both think that Danny DeVito is amazing. But I send it to the wrong girl and send it to one of my friends instead, or like to the girl that I was like hanging out with a little bit instead. And that was the first time that I'd messaged her in weeks. And it was a tweet. It was a picture of Danny DeVito. I don't know if you guys have seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but there's an episode where Danny DeVito, his character, hides inside of a couch during an office party and then slides out of the couch halfway through the party. And it was a picture of him sliding out of the couch. And it said, my caption said, "Hey, how's it going? I haven't talked to you in a minute." It was not great. It was not a great time.
Did you get a response?
Yeah. Yes, I did. And we actually hung out after that. But
there you go. Life is lemons, lemonade, man.
That's right. Danny DeVito doesn't miss. He's the hardest man alive.
I do have a question, though. With you joking that he's kind of like your dad, have you ever referred to Danny DeVito as Daddy DeVito?
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, actually. I probably got some text messages I can find somewhere with that on there.
If someone saw those out of context, they would be very confused and maybe a little bit worried about you.
Yeah, I'd no longer be a fighter. I'd be a mountain man somewhere hiding forever if they saw those text messages.
Yeah, true. Well, before we wrap things up, one final question for you. Who is your favorite fighter of all time?
Ooh, quality question.
Who? Easy. Got to be Mike Tyson. No questions, you know. Mike Tyson's greatest ever.
Do you do a Mike Tyson impersonation?
Ooh.
I can't because I like my life. No, I actually can't. My boy Kyle really can do one really well. I can't do it at all. I sound silly.
How long do you think you could last in the ring with Mike Tyson?
Well, if you let me run, he's a little old now, so hopefully a good 30 seconds.
Well, that's exciting. 30 seconds is...
That's a lot longer. I mean, I think I got about a solid second and a half before I'm knocked out. That's definitely one of those fights where there's two hits. He hits me, I hit the ground.
Man.
You know, one of those kinds of things.
100%. Yeah, I'm not messing with Mike Tyson ever. I'll learn from him. I'm not going to entertain any sorts of fighting, any sorts of punches from Mike Tyson being thrown at my face. I'm having a hard enough time being as pretty as I am right now. You know, I can't have Mike Tyson messing that up.
No, that would not be good. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and telling us your experience and getting into the professional combat world and fighting. And we loved hearing everything. Your DMs are the funniest. I look forward to hearing more about your shot. Andrew, do you have anything else to say?
Just remember the name's James Ford. He's our guy. He's up and coming and got a very bright future ahead of him. And as you heard today, just such a great guy, such a good soul, someone that really is thoughtful and wants the best for the sport. So once again, thanks, James, so much for joining us.
We were so excited to have you on. It's such a pleasure, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Of luck in your future endeavors in fighting.
Thank you, thank you.
I am Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And thank you for listening to the Offsides Podcast.